Hello and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. This is Rod Stuckey, your co-host. I'm joined by Tesla Tips and Tricks principal and administrator, Tori Hornsby. Tori, welcome. How's it going?
It's going good.
Great. Well, we've got a packed show today where we're going to be covering our week in review, some of the top posts from our T3 Facebook group over this past week, and reveal some compelling insights from our members. Specifically this week, we're going to be covering the highlights from the recently released holiday software update. But before we jump in, I'd like to invite those who are watching on our YouTube channel to click the subscribe button so you'll see future Tesla Tips and Tricks content. And Tori, for those who may be unfamiliar, please share a little overview about the Tesla Tips and Tricks community.
Sure. Yeah, the T3 community is the largest Tesla tips-oriented Facebook group in the world with over 276,000 members. And we provide valuable tips, insights, and real-world hacks for current and prospective Tesla owners. And I think it's important to note that we take our moderation responsibilities very seriously to the group, and we make every effort to fight spammers, to remove inappropriate content, and to really make sure that we have a polite, courteous, and fun community for Tesla enthusiasts.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. So, but with that said, we're excited. The group has been really blowing up with so much information about what some are calling the holiday release, but it's really robust. We don't have time to cover all of the updates. And obviously there's a lot of variance between year, make, and models. And so before we dive in, Tori, can you explain how the software releases work at Tesla? Some people may get frustrated that they don't have some of the things that, you know, the features that we're about to discuss, or have some confusion about how to get the updates.
Well, first I'll mention that to receive an update, your Tesla must be parked and you have to have it connected to Wi-Fi. Then it will download automatically. So there's nothing you can do to try to force an update. You can't go to a certain screen and say, update app. We're used to being able to do that in Windows and Mac and with our phones, you know, where we go and check for updates. You can't do that with your Tesla. You'll just be notified when an update is available, and it will download when you're connected to Wi-Fi and parked automatically, but it won't update. You have to accept the update and say, yes, I'd like to update. It'll warn you that it could take hours to finish. And sometimes it does. Sometimes they're quick updates, but sometimes it takes a while. So you don't want to necessarily do this, you know, like you went and visited a friend and you connect to their Wi-Fi and say, oh, while I'm waiting, I'll do the update while I'm in here hanging out with my friend or at work, because it can take several hours. So be prepared for that. Typically overnight is the best way to do it. And as you mentioned, not everybody receives the same update. Some people have different hardware versions, different vehicles, and depending upon those variances, you might not have access to all of the features that have been updated or new features that have been added. Again, and I think you have to kind of look at the version number for that too. You may not have the same version number. So when you're looking at those numbers, the update that I'm on right now in my Model X, we're early on in 2025 here, but my Model X is on version 2024.44.25.2. Now, what those numbers represent is the first one, I think it's pretty obvious it represents the year. So 2024 is an update in 2024. The second one represents the week number that the update was released. So what I'm on right now is the primary update was in 2024, week 44 out of 52 weeks. And then after that, you've got kind of your major your major software number and then your minor software number. So you can get an update where you might go from 2024-44, that was the major update, week 44 of 2024. But then you might see those last two numbers change a little bit as they fix minor bugs and do minor updates to that. But that's how those numbers work. And a lot of the updates that we'll be talking about today, you'll hear me say that they're available for the newer Model X's, the newer Model S's, all Model 3, all Model Y, and all Cybertruck. So again, the hardware versions, different models get different features. So you may not have what everybody else has all the time.
Yeah, and that's something that I see constantly in our T3 Facebook group is people saying, hey, I don't have this feature. Well, I do have it. We'll go here. We'll go there. And we see a lot of the S's and the X's have comparable softwares. The threes and the Y's have comparable software. And like you said, newer models. It took me a minute to get my head around the fact that that's not what we're accustomed to with, like you said, as a Windows update, is a comparison or your iPhone comparison. Teslas are they're just different. they do it and everyone is not consistent, and it makes sense once you understand the why behind it. But so that was good stuff. Thanks for sharing, Tori. And let's jump in. The number one Tesla tips and tricks topic we saw related to the updates had to be the new Tesla app for your Apple Watch. Tori, take us through what that's all about and why all the excitement.
Yeah, this one was a big one. So one of the big things on the new update is you can use your Apple Watch as a key. You don't have to have your phone with you. And I've seen a lot of comments of people saying, well, I've always got my phone with me anyway, so this doesn't matter. But I think that the Apple Watch update's pretty cool to use it as a key standalone, because what if you get out of your car and you want to go for a jog and you don't want to carry your phone, but you have your watch. So you go, you get done exercising, you can now access your car by your Apple Watch. In addition to that, the Apple Watch will now show you the battery status, what percentage you're on. You can activate climate control with it with just a touch of the Apple Watch. You can open up the frunk. You can open up the trunk. So there are some additional functionalities with the Apple Watch that are pretty cool. I will mention there's been a lot of frustration from people. A lot of our posts and comments have been around, hey, I can't get this. It doesn't work for me. It must be a Series 6 watch or above, so a newer watch, and you have to have iOS 11 or greater on it. So if it's not working for you, sorry, time to update your watch, probably.
Yeah. You know, I recently forgot my phone when Ashley and I went to dinner and had such a pleasurable experience that this past Monday we went out for dinner and I left my phone at home on purpose. And so, hey, maybe some people just like to not have their phone with them all the time just because of the constant bright, shiny object itis that we get with our phones. Maybe you get that from your Apple Watch too, but hey, it's a thought. So
yeah.
Next, and this was an update that I was particularly excited about: save dash cams and Sentry mode clips to your phone.
So let me paint the picture of the pain before this. So why is this so huge? Well, before this update, whenever you got into an accident, or if you wanted to access your dash cam clips or your Sentry mode clips, you had to pull the USB drive out of your car, hook it to a computer. People would have adapters to where they could do it with their phones too. I know, but you had to pull the drive. So now you can access it from your phone. You open your Tesla app, you go into security and Sentry mode, and it gives you the ability to access the clips. You can download them to your phone. You can share them from your phone, and it's pretty cool. But a lot of our comments on this, and there's some confusion of accessing the dash cam and Sentry mode clips versus if you're in an accident or you want to save a dash cam clip. So I think that we should really distinguish the difference between you can access those files, but now how do you save one to make sure it doesn't get overwritten for your dash cam videos? And there's a few ways that you can trigger the car to save outside of your normal video loop that records for an hour, and then it overwrites itself. So if you get into an accident and you don't save, you don't trigger it to save the file.
Real quick, Tori, on the trigger, and I think most people know this, you can honk the horn. Take us through.
Oh, yeah.
How can you trigger the
there's three ways, but again, the reason you want to trigger is every hour the video is overlapping and overriding itself on the USB drive. So if you get into an accident and don't trigger it, then you're going to lose that file within an hour. So the way that you trigger it is you can, as you mentioned, Rod, you can honk the horn, but sometimes that's weird. You got into an accident. Now I'm going to honk my horn. It's kind of weird, but you can also hit the audio button on your steering wheel and say, save dash cam clip. So it can be a voice command. And then there is on your main screen, there's a little dash cam icon with the red dot on it. If you tap that, it'll save. So those are the three ways you can do it. Honk your horn.
I think there's another way that I read in our comments that someone else had figured out. I can't remember. And it may have even been an aftermarket shortcut, but those three for there may be more, but those the are the enhanced three auto, more of right now.
You can make one of your sexy buttons from some of the aftermarket people do it as well. So but those are the three ways I know of.
Yeah. So, but continue, Tori, you were kind of this whole process of the, how do I know I've got, I think, four or five USB drives. How do I know when I plug in my flash drive where to plug it in and that it is saving to my USB drive? How do I? It's kind of overwhelming.
Yeah, it's a good question. So my Model X has five different USB plugs. And so it's got three in the back and then two up front. My Model X doesn't have in the glove box. So most of the cars have one in the glove box. That's the ideal place to plug in a flash drive, but you do have to have a flash drive still. That's the first thing I think that we should, to answer your question, you have to have a flash drive. The way you know if it's going to record correctly is on your screen, you go to security and then you go into your dash cam. And there will be a button that says flash the USB drive. And that flashing of it will make it to where the Tesla can now use it to save those videos. And so when you very first plug in your USB drive into one of the USB slots, you'll need to go and hit that flash button in the security page of your software screen. And then it will let you know that it's saving correctly. You can't in a Model X, for instance, and some of the other models, the USB slots in the back, they're just power. They don't integrate into the car so that you can't have a passenger get in the car and plug in and try to do some kind of goofy, you know, something nefarious maybe. So the only ones that access the actual software are the ones that are in the front of the vehicle and in the glove box.
Okay. Yeah, that was interesting to me that... And makes sense when you explain it like that, that a couple of the USBs are just basically power outlets. So it makes sense. Well, I'm excited about the saving dash cams in Sentry mode. I think we're going to get a lot of viral content out of that as a side note, Tori.
There's going to be a lot of posts with really cool videos, I think, in the future.
Yeah, I think so, too. So next, moving on the Tesla Tips and Tricks Facebook group, we've had some folks are pretty excited about setting arrival energy at destination. You can set your preferred battery charge when you arrive at your destination. Take us through this update.
Yeah. So people who drive around town may not find this feature very valuable or may think that it's just not important. But when you're going on a longer trip, so let's just say I'm going to visit my mom and she lives out a bit in the boonies and it's a 2.5 hour drive, whatever. So I get there and she's a bit of a ways away from a supercharger. And so when I get to her house, I can get there with 15% charge or 12% charge. So there's no reason for me to stop at a supercharger on the way there because I can get there without depleting the battery. But when I get there, I've got 12% battery left and the nearest supercharger to her is 15% battery power away because she lives out in, you know, farmland country. So it's now,
like spending the night with mom.
Right. And so if I have a mobile charger, I just have to wait, plug it in, and I'm not going to have a 240 connection. So those 120 volt mobile chargers charge at 3 miles per hour. So I'm just going to have to wait a long time. Another benefit of this is, you know, the closest supercharger to my mom may be north when I need to go south home. So now in order to get to the nearest supercharger, I've got to go north, making my drive home longer. So two big reasons for this is I can say, hey, when I get to mom's house, I want to have at least 25% battery. And so without this, my Tesla would have never routed me to a supercharger. Now it will, because I want to be sure I have enough power to get to the closest supercharger on the way home.
That not having the double back thing that you just mentioned, I think that's something that a lot of people don't consider. The first point about you don't want to get to mom's with, you know, 12% and you're 15% away from a supercharger. But a big piece of that too, I cannot stand doubling back. I hate an out and back for no reason. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of mileage and wear and tear. And most of all, you're just killing your elapsed time and wasting time. So that is a really good point, Tori. And speaking of navigation, next update was navigation search results can be filtered to show detours and estimated detour times now.
Yep. So if you've got premium connectivity and it's downloading traffic reports on the go, it'll show you how long of a detour there's going to be, or how long you're going to be in traffic if there's traffic. So we're used to this with Waze or Google Maps, Apple Maps. You know, we're used to having that functionality, but it wasn't a part of the Tesla navigation until this update. So pretty cool feature, but I think it's something that we expect to see now.
Yeah, I was going to kind of elaborate on that, Tori. I know, you know, way back when my phone had Apple Maps, and I kind of learned that, hey, I'm a Google Maps guy, because Google Maps was updated by user generated content. It had more users, and therefore Google Maps seemed to always be much more accurate for directions than Apple Maps back in the day. And then I started road tripping with you, and you were a Waze guy, and I think we broke the all-time land speed record from Orlando, Florida to South Atlanta, because they actually report the police. Why would, when we speak about detours and estimated detours, if it's being self-reported, there's probably not as many Tesla users as, say, a Google Maps or Waze user. Why would I want to use the Tesla navigation when I could easily use Google Maps or Waze?
You know, I thought I would be really frustrated by this moving to a Tesla, because I'm a huge Waze guy. I love that it shows where the police are. I love that it updates really fast when there's traffic and routes you around. It has always been excellent. And I think that, you know, now there are enough Teslas on the road, with it being the number one selling car in the world, you know, the Model Y, and Tesla here in the U.S. is the largest manufacturer. I think it's the largest manufacturer in the world. So there are enough Teslas out there now to where they're getting more of this and can update. But the reason why you use the Tesla navigation instead of Waze or Google Maps is really just convenience. First and foremost, you get in the car and you're ready to rock and roll. But the main reason for me of why I don't use Waze is because of full self-drive. So you have to, for full self-drive, FSD requires that the navigation knows where the car is going. So what you would have to do is say, okay, route me here, and then you'd pull up Waze too. And so it just, there's no reason to do that. I would say Waze and Google Maps are probably slightly better at this point, but the additional conveniences of, in addition to FSD, when I get in my Model X and leave on a weekday, it's going to route me to work. I don't have to ask it to. It's just going to route me to work. It's also going to close my garage door automatically, which I love. It's going to open up the Spotify app and start playing music in the car. And this is a big reason too, is, you know, in the past I'd get in my truck and I would connect to Bluetooth, and then I would have to go on my phone. It would automatically connect to Bluetooth, but I'd have to go to Spotify and start playing the song that I wanted to play. Right. And in Tesla, the Spotify app is loaded in the car. It's not connected via Bluetooth to play that music. So when I get in my Tesla, Spotify just starts playing automatically when I open it up. the door opens for me. I get in, Spotify's loaded. And if I wanted to use Waze, I would have to change my audio source on the radio to Bluetooth. And then I would have to come in here and start Spotify on my app that way, which again, that's a minor inconvenience. But for me, Tesla has just made it so easy to get in the car and drive that I don't really miss it. But those are the reasons why you use the Tesla navigation instead of the Apple Maps or Google Maps or Waze.
That is a really good illustration of just an overall experience of what you're describing is just the that ownership, that driving experience. While you might could make a case that Google Maps is a better map system than Tesla navigation, but Tesla navigation is bundled into this whole driving experience that when you integrate FSD and you integrate, as you said, you know, the door opens, you press the brake pedal, the door shuts, the garage door
closes.
Garage door close. I mean, you're creating an experience there, and that's a really good explanation that I had not heard explained like that before. So that's pretty cool. Moving on. Precipitation map and weather showing now on your Tesla navigation screen.
Yep, and at your destination. So this, I think most of us have probably been on a trip and looked and saw an ominous dark sky ahead and wondered, am I going to drive through that? So with this update, the navigation screen, and this is one of those that's only available on the newer Model S's. I believe that's 2018 and above. The newer Model X, which is 2021 and above, and all Model 3s, all Model Y, and of course the Cybertruck. But now, while you're driving and your navigation screen is what's showing on the main screen, you can see the radar for precipitation moving through. So now you can see, is it about to rain? Is it about to snow on me? What's traveling through above? And then it will show you what the weather is at your destination that you enter into the navigation system. So I think this is great. I think it's a great update. I think that people are overlooking the coolness or the nicety of this benefit that in the long run, people really appreciate being able to see the weather that is going to impact their drive.
And I'm guessing you got to have premium connectivity for this feature to work.
Because it requires internet access. And that's essentially what premium connectivity is it's ongoing internet access for your vehicle. So, and it does require that, yes.
Yeah, okay. So you can justify your premium connectivity by not having to pay for a radar on your phone. So
there you go.
I'm addicted to the radar on my phone. So moving on to the new safety alerts that a rear cross traffic when backing up in reverse. I know we got quite a few posts about this on the Tesla Tips and Tricks page. People are excited. Take us through this one, Tori.
Yeah. So when you're backing up, and you become addicted to the cameras, you're looking all around to just make sure that you're clear and everything is good. Well, now the screen will flash red. Like it'll show red if it senses that somebody is walking or if a vehicle is coming, and it will alert you, make a noise just to make sure that you're not going to back into anybody. So if you're, let's say you're in a parking spot, you put it in reverse, before you even start backing up, you'll be able to look and see a red streak on the side that the traffic or the person is coming from before you even start backing up. So you don't have to be moving. Put it in reverse. You look at your camera, and if it's highlighted in red on the left side, you know that you've got some sort of traffic or person walking from the left side behind you. Don't start backing up.
Yeah. And I know that that kind of ties in. I think there was an update maybe in early December or something of 24, which this seems kind of silly about the music, your radio volume turning down when you cut it into reverse. Not the same update here, but kind of related.
Yeah. So that's not a safety alert like this is, but right. It is safety related.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you put it in reverse, you're jamming out to your music, you put it in reverse and it can just automatically lower the music by 30%. And now you can focus a little better while you're backing up to make sure that everything is in the clear. So that is a newer feature, but not exactly related, but still a cool feature.
And that's a setting. The safety alert is a software update. You're going to get it. The music being cut down is a setting. Do you remember where that setting is?
I believe it's under, it's either under safety or under controls.
Okay. But
yeah, you're right. You can turn on and off the music going down in reverse. That is a setting.
Yeah.
The safety alert, you can't turn that off.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Two more and we'll wrap it up here. This one is the maintenance summary, and Tori and I have an extensive background in the pre-owned Tesla world, and we've owned and had quite a few Teslas that are pre-owned, and wanting to know the maintenance history, the battery history, these things are so important. And to the point of where there's actually been aftermarket apps that record your maintenance history, Tesla has finally made a pretty big change with the maintenance history tracking. Take us through that, Tori.
This one is huge. So just a quick story in how big of a deal this is. We had a gentleman want to list his Model S on a T3 auction. And as a part of the value of his car, it was an older Model S. I think it was a 2015 or 2016 Model S. It was outside of the drive unit warranty by 8 years. So it was just over the 8 year mark, but the drive unit had been replaced and the battery had been replaced. Not at the same time, but within the year that he had bought it. So when he bought it,
kind of a big deal, battery and drive unit replaced. That's
on the car out of warranty.
Yeah. A new buyer kind of would be interested in that.
And would pay more for that because, like, okay, if they are brand new, they're gonna last a lot longer. Like, I'll pay more for that car. And so the car is more valuable. Well, he saw it on the previous owner's screen. He saw it, where it had been done. And now he's wanting to list his car, but his service history, Tesla service history, in their world, it was all about the user. So who schedules the appointment? The user. The car doesn't schedule the appointment. Who pays for it? The user. It's all under the user. So whenever the Tesla was transferred from one user to another, the details of the service history didn't transfer with it, which really made no sense from a service history standpoint. Now at the dealership, they could see the Tesla history, but they wouldn't share it with you because it wasn't you. You didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
You didn't. But I own the car now.
We've called the Tesla dealerships begging for service history and they wouldn't give it to us because we didn't own the car at the time the service was done. And we're like, we own it now.
Right. It's my car.
Yeah.
Why can't I see the service history on it? Well, because it wasn't yours. It's not your history. Yeah. Anyway, so I understand why Tesla did it that way, but it made no sense. Well, now in the car, under you tap the vehicle, then you tap service, and there's a button for service history. And it will just show you a list of all of the services that have been done at a Tesla dealership, which would include a very valuable thing like the battery was replaced or the drive unit was replaced. It'll even say windshield wipers were replaced if they did it. Whatever they did, it's a full history of whatever was done at a Tesla service center.
Yeah, you know, in the ICE days, my father-in-law had a 78 Bronco since, 78. And in his glove box, he had a cardboard cutout with every date and time that he changed the oil or did any service work. And there's like four, cardboard cutouts with perfect penmanship outlining every single oil change. And as silly as that sounds, You know, it really illustrates someone who took care of their vehicle, which is why that 78 model, you know, is still roadworthy today. And, you know, maintenance history really means a lot to in the pre-owned market to prospective buyers. It impacts resale value. And, you know, some people are organized enough to keep their receipts and their invoices and repair orders and their, you know, back in the ice days, oil changes, which are so important. Tire rotations are so important. Most people aren't that organized. And so for there to be a systematic way that this is organized in a done for you fashion and attached and staying with the car, I'm excited about this for what this holds for the future of the pre-owned Tesla market, because I think prospective buyers are going to be able to have a clear understanding of the history of the vehicle and how it was taken care of. And that just means so much to buyers.
Yeah, this is a huge deal.
Yeah. So, and now without further ado, this is not the final update. There are a lot more updates. These are just some of the highlights from the Tesla Tips and Tricks Facebook group, with over 276,000 people commenting. Sit happens. I don't know how this is so popular. I'm picturing the Tesla engineer sitting around a conference room table and taking us through the Sit Happens update, Tori.
In the toy box, if you're in your Tesla, you go to the toy box and you go to emissions. That's what they call the fart prank app, emissions, which is hilarious.
Passing gas.
Yep, emissions. So when you go there previously, you could make it fart on demand by a turn signal. You could hit an area of the car where you wanted the fart noise to come from. So you could make it come from the right rear seat. Well, now for the newer Model X, the newer Model S, all Model 3s, all Model Ys, the Cybertruck, you can fart on bum detection. So whenever one of the seats feels pressure, whenever it indicates that somebody sat in it, it'll make a fart noise from that seat if the bum detection is active. So hilarious, man. I think, you know, you've got Elon Musk, who is probably the smartest, if not one of the smartest people that are alive today. You've got SpaceX, you've got Solar City, you've got Tesla, you've got all this stuff. What I love about him is he doesn't take himself so seriously that he's not above creating a fart prank in a $100,000 Tesla. So that's Sit Happens.
Yeah. And, you know, that's many of the other updates included to your point about them not taking themselves too seriously, the holiday updates, the light shows, the
that's one of the updates in this app is there's a new light show.
Yeah. In this new update. Yeah. The new light show. So many, you know, holiday relevant right. things. So yeah, it's kind of cool that they don't take themselves that seriously.
By the way, in my mom's neighborhood, she doesn't live out in the country. That was a case point story of why the set arrival percentage battery percentage is so important. But in her neighborhood, when I went up there for Christmas, it had just gotten dark. And so I got the family out there and I put on the Christmas light show. It's called Model Xmas light show. And it plays a holiday song. And she's like, "Oh, I'm gonna call my neighbors and, oh, will you do it? Hold on, can you do it again?" And it became the neighborhood show of how cool this Tesla light show was. So
that is, it's what we were talking about earlier. It's that ownership experience, right? And that's just another example of a unique ownership experience that you're just not going to get through the traditional legacy manufacturers, at least not yet. So with that, we will wrap up this episode of the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. But before we go, Tori, I know we mentioned several times the T3 auctions. Real quick, just take us through, for those who may not be familiar with formerly EV bids, now the T3 auctions. We're pretty excited about the pre-owned Tesla market. Take us through the T3 auctions.
It's a huge value. So the T3 auctions provide a way for somebody wanting to sell their Tesla, their pre-loved Tesla, a venue to do that without having to list your car on Marketplace and deal with all the "is this still available" messages, or, you know, the my pet peeve on Marketplace listings, which I've done more than most people. I've done a lot of Marketplace stuff with our background, and you know, people just send you numbers. You know, 23. It's like you got the car listed for 30, and they just send 23. That's all they send. Or they you feel like you got to a place to where finally you have somebody interested, and then they don't show up. Or people come and they just want to do a joyride. So there's all these hassles with selling it and dealing with people. And maybe you don't want to trade it in and get a reduced value for your trade-in. So you want to get a better value. Well, T3 auctions allow you, consumers, a place to list their vehicle. We will help get a photo shoot set up, an inspection set up, and get the pictures. We'll write a value building description of the vehicle. And so the auction is actually free for people to list their car. So there's no auction fee for the lister person. So you can list it for free, and we'll advertise nationwide to Tesla enthusiasts to help find people to come and bid on it.
This is domestic United States. Oh, yeah. We should mention this is an international crowd. Currently only available in the domestic United States. Hey, we're working on some international stuff right now, only available in the domestic
United States. So we advertise in the domestic US to find Tesla enthusiasts to come and bid on the car. And then as they bid, if it passes the reserve, the minimum price, then the car sells. So there's a protection to the seller. If their car is legitimately going to be worth reasonably, $25,000, we can set that as a reserve. And then if it doesn't, the bids don't get to that price, you don't have to sell it for whatever the amount comes in. So you're protected as a seller. This is a huge value to our Tesla Tips and Tricks users. It's free for you to list it on our auction site. We'll do all the work on the description, on advertising, and on trying to find the buyer. And it's a huge value to a buyer because you're going to be able to see all of the details of the car. You can ask questions. The members of the group are going to help vet and participate in that auction on teslatipsandtricks.com. And we're trying to get more and more of our users to come over and participate in that. So this is a win-win all the way around. And we're happy to provide this great additional benefit and value to our group.
Yeah, and I think that's what separates T3 auctions from, say, buying a pre-owned Tesla from a legacy dealership in the United States. We just found that they just don't have the expertise. I've people buying from legacy manufacturers and their car doesn't come with a charger. They get there and the car is charged at 1%. We're Tesla EV specialists. We vet the vehicle. We're not going to have an auction for a car that doesn't pass our pre-inspection checklist. So we only are going to list quality EVs, and we're going to be that person who ensures that there's the specialization needed so that when your pre-owned Tesla arrives, it's not in valet mode and you can't even drive it. You can't access the app. There's so many ownership transferring unique perspectives to buying a pre-owned Tesla, and that's our specialty. That's what we're passionate about. That's what we enjoy doing, and we specialize in pre-owned Teslas.
Yep. So, one more thing here: we'll even help to set up shipping from the pickup at the seller's house to drop off in the driveway of the buyer's house, so we can help set up shipping. We have an exclusivity with Get Amber Warranties, where our members can save 5%. So if you want to get an extended warranty on your Tesla, if it's outside of the The basic warranty, you can extend that if it's outside of the drive unit and battery warranty. You can even cover your drive unit and battery with our Get Amber, saving 5% at a very reasonable price. And then lastly, while we still have it, the used Tesla tax credit, the used EV tax credit, used clean vehicle tax credit is technically what it's called, for $4,000 for people who list their car. If it's eligible on, if the car's eligible and the reserve price is less than $25,000, we will process the tax credit as a part of the auction. It's free for the seller, and we don't charge any additional for the buyer in addition to the normal auction fee to process the tax credit. So it's a huge, huge benefit if your car is used EV tax credit eligible.
Yep. And that's currently still available. We're in January of 2025, and a lot of people are saying it's going to go away. Hey, but we don't know. So we know the mandates are going to go away. We don't know what's going to happen with the tax credits. Turns out he's got pretty good connections up top. So, hey, you never know. Some say he wants it. Some say he doesn't want it. But who knows? So with that, Tori, appreciate it. Just one other reminder, if you haven't been over to Tesla Tips and Tricks, jump over there, join our email list. We do a weekly email newsletter where we'll share some of the top tips and tricks from the week. We can share some of our latest auctions, et cetera. So jump over there to TeslaTipsAndTricks.com and check out our website. Anything else, Tori?
Mash that like and subscribe button on Facebook or LinkedIn or YouTube or wherever you're watching this or listening to this. Be sure to subscribe and like.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Tori. Enjoyed it as always, and we'll see everybody on the next episode.